Well, now moving on, 52 years ago, the United Nations General Assembly adopted two international treaties that would forever shape international human rights and the International Covenant on Economic, Social and Cultural Rights and the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights. Well, created in the aftermath of World War II, the two covenants together with the Universal Declaration of Human Rights became the International Bill of Human Rights, setting out the civil, cultural, economic, political and social rights that are bright right of all human beings. Well, ahead of the International Day of Human Rights to be celebrated this Sunday, December 10th, we ask what needs to be done to guarantee the fundamental freedoms and protecting the human rights of all and all, considering that today's human rights violations are the cause of tomorrow's conflict. How do we avert this? And this is a focus of our discussion this morning with Wayne Back Mark, and he is a public affairs officer in the U.S. Embassy. Good morning, Mark, and you're welcome.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, please. And now moving on, what are your initial impressions of the human rights situations in South Sudan? And what for you are the sticky human rights issues in South Sudan?
Sure. I don't think it'll surprise anyone to tell when I tell you that, you know, there's significant human rights problems here in South Sudan. We witness violations of people's fundamental human rights pretty much on a daily basis here. And I think it's a wide range of human rights. It's about the conflict. It's about inter-ethnic violence. But it's also about treatment of women in this society, treatment of minorities in this society. So there's a wide range of violations, and that's certainly a major focus for the U.S. Embassy.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, is it a duty of the state to respect the fundamental rights of South Sudanese, or the right to freedom of expression, the rights to associate, name it, and yet it seems there is reluctance to respect this. How is your government supporting the state to uphold these rights?
Sure. First of all, absolutely, it is the responsibility of all states to uphold these fundamental human rights. The government of South Sudan, like the United States and most other countries, have signed the treaties that you mentioned, and that makes it a legal obligation to respect these rights. But beyond that, I think it's just a fundamental human right. These are people's birthright. It is up to the state, but it's up to everybody to respect these rights. In terms of what we're doing, I think people have seen various statements from the United States government. We are increasing pressure on the government of South Sudan to respect these rights, to end this conflict that's going on right now. And we will continue to do that, whether that's through direct pressure, such as some of our sanctions regimes, whether that's through private meetings, such as when Ambassador Haley was here and met with President Kiir. We're going to continue talking about this. We are going to continue telling the government of South Sudan that it's not just words that we need to hear, it's actions that we need to see.
Right. Now, Mark, recently there has been some targeted killings and gruesome rapes in Yei, River State. Well, arbitrary arrests, etc. So what measures have your government taken to ensure that these human rights, at least come to an end or do not even continue?
Sure. I wish I could say that we had the magic bullet to stop things like the killings in Yei State, or I saw that there were clashes and killings near Rumbek recently, just yesterday. These go on all the time here in South Sudan, and I think what we're trying to do is on multiple tracks. First of all, we continue to pressure the government to protect its citizens. That is, the government's job is to protect its citizens, and we don't see the government of South Sudan doing that right now. So we're going to keep pushing on them. We're also going to keep working with partners like the United Nations, like NGOs, to, one, educate people about their rights, to document the abuses that are out there so that at some time in the future there can be accountability for these rights. That was part of the 2015 peace deal, and we're going to continue to push for that kind of accountability, and we'll keep working on that.
Right. And now some human rights activists have called for a coordinated response to human rights abuses. What would you really like to see happen?
No, I think that's a great thing. It does need to be a coordinated response. It's one of the messages I want to leave your listeners with, is that protecting and defending human rights is really a joint effort by everybody. Yes, it is the state's responsibility to protect people's human rights, but it's also people's responsibility. It's civil society's responsibility. It's everyone working together. And I think one of the things we're working with our partners to do is to try to figure out how can we document, how can we record what's going on so that we can give people a voice, work with local civil society to educate people about their rights, but also to capture information about what's happening.
Well, and you'll agree with me, much of your government's work in the last 6 years has been dominated by the conflict in South Sudan. So how has this crisis affected the U.S. efforts to promote and protect human rights?
No, I think it's a really good question and an underreported story. You're correct that unfortunately since independence, this conflict has consumed so much of what we do, which means that the vast majority of our assistance is humanitarian assistance. We're busy trying to keep people alive here. We're providing food. We're providing health care. And I think we had hoped at independence that, you know, our focus could be much more development-based. It could be more about trying to build up the economic, civil, and political rights of people here in South Sudan. And tragically, the assistance has moved more towards a humanitarian assistance. That means less focus is able to be put on things like educating civil society, educating youth, working on human rights. So I think it has had an absolutely negative impact on our ability to work on those projects.
Right. Now, how important is it for the U.S. Government to lead by example as stewards to guarantee the fundamental freedom and protecting the human rights of all things?
I think it's very important. It's actually built into the fiber of our nation, actually. One of the early documents that was written, actually, even before the United States was the United States in the early 17th century, was by a man named John Winthrop, who described the United States as a shining city on a hill. And what he meant by that was very Christian, but he was talking about being a beacon for other people, leading by our example, as you said, trying to model behavior for others and hope that through that example, others will follow that lead. And that's something we try to do. I'm not going to say we're perfect. No country is. I think that certainly we have our own challenges. Mm-hmm. One of the things I think about the United States in this regard that is great is that when we have challenges, we talk about them publicly. One of those freedoms is the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression, as you noted. And I think it's important for societies to be honest and to discuss these issues. We're not going to make headway. We're not going to make progress. We're not going to change things for the better if we don't talk about it. They have to be discussed in open society. People have to know what's going on and talk about how can we change things.
Right. And I would say very important. Well, what will the U.S. main priorities looking forward be, and how can we ensure that the government of South Sudan continues to protect those on the front line of human rights advocacy?
Sure. So our absolute first priority looking ahead over the next year, and really just the next few weeks with the High-Level Revitalization Forum coming, is to end the conflict here in South Sudan. The fighting has to stop. Unfortunately, without the fighting stopping, so much of the other things that need to happen, whether that's human rights, economics, just can't take place. So that's the very first thing that has to happen. Beyond sort of stopping the fighting, ending this conflict, then we want to really focus on rebuilding the economy of this country, build up the people of South Sudan, build up so they can have a stable, prosperous, secure future.
Right. And now, Mark, being so hard on you, let's just end on a lighter note. What has been your memorable moment in South Sudan?
Oh, that's a good question. You haven't been hard on me at all. No, this is actually my second time in the country. So, you know, it's a place that I love. It's a beautiful country. And so since I've been here this time, I think memorable moment is probably, I think, like many of us expatriates, being down by the river and sort of seeing the Nile flowing through. It's an amazing sight. But really, being here, I think what is most memorable for me is getting to work on important issues and trying to help support the people of South Sudan.
Right. And thank you so much for supporting the people of South Sudan and also honoring our invitation to come to our studios this morning to give us all the updates about human rights.
Thank you.